everybody. Despite open borders, staggering grocery and gas prices, and all of the talk of war, there is a miraculous revolution of health taking place across America. And that's because your body is a miracle machine, fully capable of healing itself. That's why we're here today to help you and your body do miraculous things and regain your optimum health. So now is the time for you to learn about the Magic Dycol family of products, the NanoSoma liquid spray, the Metasomer topical gel, and the Metasomer telomerase natural skin cream. Join the revolution of wellness and take back your health by signing up for our free video series at iwantmyhealthback.com/TanyaJoy. Now you can watch our free video series and learn how to take your health back. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/TanyaJoy. That is iwantmyhealthback.com/TanyaJoy. Imagine you can unleash the power of your own body to restore itself. When the Magic Dycol products trigger the nuclear receptors in your body to take care of you in ways you have never even imagined. So go log in now at iwantmyhealthback.com/TanyaJoy. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the set of the Tanya Joy Show. We are so happy to see you. Thank you for joining us today. Please remember, before we get started, to like, share, follow. I'm going to put this up. Subscribe if you are new to our channel, or if you watch us all the time but you just have never subscribed. Please hit the bell, the thumbs up, whatever it is that you're watching from. That helps the algorithm, so that's why we ask you to do that. And if you are new, go ahead and scan this QR code. This will bring you to all of our links. It will bring you to the website, which is tanyajoy.tv. And you can check things out over there. You're going to find an event page where you can see different places I might be speaking or performing. You can join me if you wish. You'll be able to also get information. We've got actually a resource page over there. And when we're done with today's show, we will add the information on what we're going to be talking about today. And you'll also be able to find that on the resource tab. So the resource tab is just a place where there are links and then you can go and find. And they're kind of like the top things that we've discussed on the show that we really want you to be aware of and be able to follow up on. So that is kind of the background information. For those of you that are new, when you check out the website, do me a favor and subscribe. All that means is you're going to just put your name and your email. You're not going to be like entered into anything or be getting inundated with emails, I promise. But we are rebuilding our CRM after we've lost so many of our websites. So we would love to have your information. I also want to remind you, we're going to have a commercial later in the show, to go check out the free video series at iwantmyhealthback.com/TanyaJoy. They're one of our main sponsors of the show. There's some amazing information over there. It's a free video series and you're going to be blown away. So go check that out. iwantmyhealthback.com/TanyaJoy. And last but not least, remember you can watch us on Blessed News Network and all those other great streaming places Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 4:14 p.m. All right, now that we got all of the to-dos out of the way, I have a question for you. How many of you have wondered, how do we get through the chaos, the division, and the confusion of the days that we are in? I know so many of you are aware of the agenda that's going on in our world right now, right? I know you are because I hear from you and I interact with you. And if you're not aware, you're going to learn today. And you're going to learn from a Christian worldview of what this agenda truly is. So today's guest is the author of this awesome book called Agenda, and you don't want to miss a minute of today's show. I'm Tanya Joy, and this is The Tanya Joy Show. We will be right back.
Okay, well, we weren't shocked.
So welcome back to the show.
You as well. I'm so excited to have you both on the show.
And I know we had such good feedback and reception.
General Flynn, what an honor.
Joshua tracked me down in a big tent of about 4,000 people.
How are you?
I am doing so great. Hello, everybody. Thank God I am wonderfully great.
Hello.
Thank you very much.
Because what is prayer?
I'm just Julie. You know what I mean? And
I'm thrilled to be here with the two of you.
Me too. It's
like, and that's who these crazies, these evil ones,
It is. You said it right. Good job.
Perfect. All right, the Gibson sisters. We are so excited to have them on with us on Resistance Chicks today.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's time to rise.
These people that get higher up, how sometimes I've thought,
these are glory days and not gloomy days.
Like, I love that.
It kind of works.
Awesome about the tour is people like you.
Good.
I love the applause. That's cool.
There we go.
Thank
Hi,
you.
Joy. Everybody, welcome. We are so excited. You ready to get the show on the road? Let's go. All right, welcome back. Well, today's guest is Ed Horak, and I'm going to give you a quick bio, and then we're going to bring him on into the studio. He's been in ministry since the early 80s, first in South Africa, and now mostly in the U.S. He teaches and preaches a word that is totally based on the scripture, which you know we love here on this show. He has written several discipleship-type books, and most recently published this one, which we're going to talk about today, Agenda. A pertinent Bible-based commentary on the drift toward socialism and how that has affected even the church in the most recent pandemic and climate hysteria. And as you know, we have some great friends on this show, and Ed is actually the father of our dear friend Janine Horak, who hosts the amazing Breath of Heaven. So we want to give a shout out to her as well. She's just a precious dear friend. So let's bring Ed on in. Hello, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Tanya. What a privilege it is to be on your show and
well,
welcomed in this way. Quite a bio that I have to live up to now.
It's all good. It's good. This is what God has prepared you for. So yeah. I love it. It's so wonderful. And it's so great. Like I was saying backstage before we started, you know, I know Janine, obviously, and we do prophetic roundtables and we do shows with each other. And I had no idea you wrote this book and that you knew all of this stuff. And then at the last show afterwards, when we were in the green room, they were like, you know, you should read my dad's book. And I was like, hold the phone. Wait, what? He should be on my show. So this is a long time coming, but I am so glad to have you on the show to be able to share with my viewers who really do know most of them about this agenda. They really do. But I think it's going to be really great to be able to talk through this and really approach it from a Christian worldview. Your background is in ministry and all of that. So let's just kick this off. How did you even start with this? And like, how did you end up calling it Agenda? And what was the stuff that brought you to the place of putting this in print?
Sure, that's quite a starting point. But basically, it was in about February, March, 2020, when the whole COVID thing broke. And I saw what they were rolling out just in warp speed, so to speak, you know, the lockdowns and the plans and whatever they had and just the stuff that was going on in the media. And I said to myself, you know, there's something going on here. I'm sure it connects with a whole variety of things. And on my cover, I've got globalism. I've got COVID-19, I've got climate change and population control. And I've always been interested in those things growing up in South Africa, being aware of the world very much so through a political viewpoint and a mindset that my family had there. We were very aware of what was going on in our own country and then around the world. And so when it started to go down here, having moved to the United States and being here now for 30 years, back in 2020, when everything broke at that season of time, I said, you know, there's got to be a connection here with what I'm seeing in the political realm, in the spiritual realm, in the church world, in the medical field, and so on. And so that's what drove me to talk about agenda. An agenda, basically, you know, if you have a business meeting, you've got an agenda, you welcome everybody, you discuss the first item, the second item, the third item, then you conclude and you move on. But an agenda in a more nefarious way, in a negative way, is when someone is actually telling you one thing up here, but down here, they've got another agenda. They've got a plan in mind, and they're trying to steer you towards a particular direction. And so that's the kind of approach that I adopt in the book here.
It's just fantastic. And the fact that you came from, I always find it interesting, right? When somebody comes to America, regardless of how long they've been here, but they've seen it in another country. They've seen things obviously different. And so you grew up in South Africa. What were some of the things that you saw that, you know, you could really point out that were really different from the way America was when you first came here? Because obviously you've been here a long time. Our America has shifted a lot in those 3 years.
Well, South Africa is a curious country. South Africa, by the way, right now is probably more socialistic than the Americans, the America of today. Mm-hmm. And but back in the day, it was controlled by the apartheid regime, and they were also centralized and top-down control, if you can put it that way. And, you know, as a family, as an individual studying at college there, I was just like a typical young student growing up, kind of pushing back against what I saw was manipulation and control of the people for an agenda that they had, which was the apartheid racial issues that they were dealing with. And so when we came to the United States, actually, I had something, a word in my heart saying, you know, we're immigrating as a family to the United States, but the United States in 20 years is not going to be the same. It's not like you're trying to escape something in South Africa to move to something better over there because it's going to change there too. Wow. And precisely what we've seen here is some of the glorious things that were established in the foundation of this nation. You know, the Constitution and with rights that are endowed by the Creator and so on. Things written into the Constitution that are totally foundational to America, not always written in other constitutions across the world, certainly not in South Africa, although there was some sort of a perverse godly influence in the nation. You know, they used to hold up the Bible in Parliament, as they called it, and they used to pray before the news and things like that, but it was very religious. It wasn't very full of the revival life that we need to make sure that a nation grows righteously. Like, righteousness exalts a nation, and unrighteousness or perversion or hidden agendas or manipulation and control, they actually push down a nation, which is what we've been experiencing in the last couple of years.
Yeah. Did you know, so before you came here, had you studied the Constitution of America? Did you know it? Like, you know, before you came over here, were you aware?
I knew a little bit because we had a couple of American professors that came to college in the political science field, which I studied a little bit. Uh-huh. They talked about it, but really I didn't have a feel for it.
Yeah.
But when I got here, I realized, hold on a minute, you know, there's something going on in the United States that's unique. It makes it exceptional. Mm-hmm. You know, that whole phrase, the exceptionalism of a nation.
Yeah.
Well, I did feel when I started to look into it that the United States had this spiritual heritage about it, that it was fulfilling indeed the mandate that God brought out through the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts chapter 17. Do you remember that speech that he gave where he said that everyone, all the nations are the result of one blood? Mm-hmm. And they set in place in a particular place for a particular time to fulfill God's purposes.
Yeah.
And so when I started to apply that to America, I said, you know, God has a purpose for this nation that the enemy doesn't want fulfilled. And so he's going to use anything to eat away, like white ants eat away at wood, the foundation of a house.
Yeah.
And so that's what I believe has been happening with this whole socialism that has kind of crept over from the East towards the West and landed up with what we're going through in America with this big fight going on between, you know, the leftists, socialism and capitalism and free market and individual liberties and all that sort of stuff that mixed into it.
Yeah, let's dive into that a little bit because, I mean, I think most of the viewers know what socialism is, but like dive into that from how you've approached it from the book of what does that look like here in the West? And then you can even tie that into, of course, George Orwell's book, 1984, right? Yeah. A lot of people knew that book or remembered it. You know, I didn't actually, until the COVID stuff happened, I didn't know about that book. Like I was completely oblivious to what was going on. And now over the last couple of years, it's been like, whoa, they totally planned this. They told us about it, you know.
We're being played.
Yeah.
And if we're being played, there must be some players that know what they're doing. They have an agenda.
Exactly.
That they don't want people to confuse the narrative that they're putting out with any facts, because, you know, who wants the facts to get in the way of a good narrative? But, you know, to answer your question about socialism, if I had to summarize it, socialism is a more of a centralized control of people by, let's call them, an elite group of operatives. Mm-hmm. That think, get this now, that think they know what's good for you. And they're the experts. They're the ones who studied. They're the elite. They've got the background and the money and everything like that. And so they're going to actually tell the unwashed masses what to do, you know. And so they take advantage of the political structures of the day, which they're doing today. I mean, they take advantage of the law that we have in place. We've got what's going on currently, lawfare against politicians that oppose their narrative. They've got financial attacks that they can do. They've got gaslighting and censorship and blocking all through the social media, the various techniques that they used to squeeze people into the way that they think, which is basically, in socialism, it's top-down control by an elite group of people.
And when we, you know, there's people that, in fact, I put a post up earlier today because we're having our primaries here today, our primary elections.
Yeah.
And so I had put a post, don't forget to vote. And I had put a picture up of how things were 4 years ago, what the prices, what the interest rates were, how much gas costs, all these things, and what it is today. And I had someone put a post and said, that's misinformation. And I was like, is it? And so I wrote on, I said, well, let me give you an example. I said, here's how much gas was from my house 4 years ago. Here's what it is today. Here's how much my electric bill was 4 years ago. Here's how much the interest rate was when I bought my house. Here's what it is today. You know, and then
open up the receipts and show them.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it's, we've gotten into this place, and you mentioned it in your book as well, of this whole misinformation campaign. I mean, that was not something that you heard about prior to really heavily the last 4 years. You know, it was more just everyone listened to the news and they accepted what was told on the TV. Whereas now we've got people on the news telling us, if, you know, my kind of area of, you know, like this, how we're doing this, how we're bringing news in this new form. Well, they're misinformation. They're not telling the truth.
Yeah.
Well,
They say so. We say so. How do you establish the truth? Which is something that I'm wanting to work on. Another book that, if I can just pull the trigger on it, I want to write about, how do you establish truth in a sea of lies?
And that would be a great book.
Yeah. Because, you know, here we are, we're talking, we've got a particular viewpoint, a worldview. And we're saying, this is the understanding that we have. You should hear about it. But then they turn it around. They say, no, that's misinformation, as you just pointed out. Yeah. And funny enough, in George Orwell's book, 1984, he talks about this society that developed through time. It's kind of like a Hunger Games scenario. It's crazy. He talks about the Ministry of Truth, for example. And basically, the Ministry of Truth is just a pack of lies. Then they've got another ministry called the Ministry of Peace, which is basically warmongering. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, here we are, we've got Ukraine and we've got Israel and we've got the Houthis and Venezuela and we've got Haiti and everything going on, just blowing up in your face. Mm-hmm. And everyone's telling us, well, I tell you what, if we spend a lot of money here over there and we send a lot of bombs over there and cruise missiles over there and troops over here and we put warheads over here, then we're going to have peace. You know, and they totally leave out the most significant peacemaker of them all. His name is Jesus.
Right.
So I unashamedly come at this whole business of agenda and socialism and society and all the stuff that's going on with Jesus being the solution. Because if you don't have him in your heart, you won't know what the absolute truth is, because he is the way, the life, and the truth. And if you don't have him in your heart, you've got no plumb line.
Exactly.
You're just going to come up with stuff that suits you and your perverted human nature, which has fallen. If you haven't accepted Jesus into your heart, then you're not going to be tuned into his wavelength of how to solve these problems. So you come up with the idea, oh, well, it's racism or it's sexism or it's capitalism. And so we need to tear it down and burn it down. And then we'll get some beauty for ashes.
Yeah.
But you can tell us, you only get beauty for ashes when?
when it all crashes down and it's burned up.
Yeah, but that's your lies, the opinions that exactly. you have,
everything,
narratives that you bought in, and suddenly you see the light, you get an epiphany. Right. Jesus is
only
Lord.
Jesus.
You realize right. him, and then he raises up beauty from those ashes.
That's right. Exactly. Because we can't do it. If we had the power, if humanity had the power to do that, we would not be in the position we are in. I mean, it's such a simple thing to me, looking out and going, if the humans had an actual ability to make peace, to make it better, to fix it, to stop yeah. world wars, to do all these things, we would have done it by now. It would have been done. There wouldn't be, right? I mean, it's like you can look at it and go, obviously their plan, their system isn't working yeah. because if it was working, then why would we have to keep sending all of our tax dollars to Ukraine? Why would there still be fighting going on in these nations? Why are we still seeing, you know, evil everywhere if humanity, but we know, obviously, that is not possible. Talk about, because I do find this interesting, because I've had people tell me this. Well, Jesus was a socialist because Jesus, he wanted to give free health care to, you know, he wanted to offer all these things. So talk about that, because I find that always very fascinating.
Yeah, well, I mean, people do. They say, oh, no, Jesus was a socialist, and the early church was socialistic. You know, they got together and they shared everything, and they made sure that everyone had need, and they basically took care of anyone who was short. But, you know, once again, if you leave Jesus out of the picture with his love mm-hmm. and his service and his integrity and his perfect honesty and perfect care for you. If you take all of that out of the equation, you're left with human beings that after a while want to put their hand in the till and take the money, supposedly for the poor, and they just put it in their own pocket and they drive around in nice cars, fly around in nice jets, live in nice houses while everyone else suffers under socialism.
Right.
And so we had that situation in the church. They try to call the church, the early church, socialistic, but they continue to maintain their private ownership, if I can put it that way. Because when they sold their houses and they shared that money, they sold the houses that they owned.
Yeah.
And then they voluntarily brought it to the apostles who were under the lordship of Jesus and listening to his voice clearly at that time. And then they distributed it to everyone had need. But boy, you bring it out into the 21st century where we are now, and the 20th century, last century, where so much bad stuff went down under socialism and communism and everything. You just got a mess today. Whereas back there, there was a community. Let's just call it, they had a Jewish community mindset that was based on the Bible.
Yeah.
And so when Jesus, to answer your question about Jesus himself being a socialist, Jesus loved the poor and he helped people and he met their needs and he cared for them in ways that cut through to the deepest need in their lives at that moment, which set them free from the sin and the victimization and everything else that was going on. And then they could follow him and they could begin to express that new life in ways that were fair and just, you know, the social justice thing. So social justice that Jesus brought to the world was not the kind of social justice that people today want to lay on us. I deal with that in the book here. You know, obviously, if people get the book, they can look at those specific things about Jesus. Was he a socialist? Mm-hmm. Was the, you know, the true and false gospel? It says here in Luke chapter 4. Do you mind if I read a scripture?
No, go for it. Absolutely. It says,
the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is referring to the anointing upon Jesus. Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So they say, aha. You know, it must have something to do with, you know, politics here. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. And so they say, you know, the systemic violence of the capitalism is victimizing and oppressing people and pushing them down. So therefore, we need to just blow that all up. And out of those ashes, we're going to have Phoenix, like this glorious utopia. And they forget that he came there to give us recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable the year of the Lord. By, this is the key, by going into your heart
yeah.
and changing your heart. so that you start to see people with the eyes of God, basically, mm-hmm. on the inside of you, rather than with your own crazy agenda, which is usually selfish and domineering. You know, people take that dominion mandate that God gave us in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, if I'm not mistaken. He said, go into all the world and have dominion over the fish and the fowl and, you know, all the natural things of this world. In other words, exercise rulership and steward the world that's pleasing to me because I'm the God who made you and I sent you out to do this, but not to dominate other people.
Yeah.
It's dominate the natural realm to make it productive and creative for human enjoyment, mm-hmm. not at the expense of other people.
Right.
And so guess what? They come up with ideas, things, oh, there's scarcity of food, scarcity of clean water.
Right.
Scarcity of air. Now you've got the carbon dioxide thing, you know, where they're trying to shut down on all the energy.
Crazy.
It's just absolutely insane where they said there's the scarcity of everything. I work off the basis that if God allows a person to be born into this world and breathe the air that he made and live on the planet that he made, it's up to him, therefore, to make sure that this planet can take hold of us.
Exactly.
Not for us to come with eugenics and all that sort of stuff, Bill Gates and George Soros and and some of these crazies in, you know, what's his name?
Harari and Klaus Schwab and all these crazies,
The whole nine yards of those people, they're absolutely out of their tree.
But, and it shows, I mean, when you really think, because we've talked about, you know, I've got different guests that have come on and we'll highlight. In fact, one of my guests, he does such a good job. He doesn't even say it in his own language. He'll just have all these clips of here's what Harari said with his own words. Here's Klaus Schwab's own words that you will own nothing and you will be happy. Like, we're not just telling you this. These people have told you this. And yet still people don't fully see it. And it's like, that is shocking to me still in this day and age that it's really, there are so many thousands of people who are putting the truth out, so many people who are exposing what's truly going on. And then you still end up with people that just can't comprehend it or accept it.
Well, look, I mean, you know, we were preaching a series in church on the candelabra, you know, the Jewish menorah thing with the light. And Jesus said, I'm the light of this world.
Yeah.
And then he goes on in, I think it's in John chapter 8, he talks about, you know, people that will not see and cannot see, even though the light is shining. It's basically the message that's being made there. And so why is it that people will see something and not see it? Whereas you and I, let's say we're right now about these things. Mm-hmm. We see the same thing that they're seeing. And we say, no, hold on, this is what it means.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you've got censorship, you've got gaslighting, you've got throttling, you've got shadow banning, you've got all of these techniques that they're using to shut down people who have a different opinion to the one that they have.
They have.
Because they've got an agenda. They're pushing in a certain direction. And if you don't believe that human nature and things like humility, for example, you know, maybe it's not a perfect example, but, you know, in South Africa, you drive on the right-hand side of the road. Mm-hmm. When we came to the United States, immediately you have to drive on the left-hand side of the road. Otherwise, you're going to meet with a Mack truck somewhere along the line on the wrong side of the road. You're going to do some damage to yourself. And so when it comes to the things of God, God is God, and he is the way, the life, and the truth. And if he says something and it's recorded, I've got my Bible here, got a big fat Bible, big
enough. Yeah, I love it.
Donkey, you know, if God says it, it's true. And so you come up against that rock. If you don't fall on that rock in repentance and change your mind and say, in humility, I was wrong. Mm-hmm. I was brought up the wrong way. I was indoctrinated in you know, in apartheid and whatever it is. But now I see the light.
Yeah.
Light has shone on me. That makes a huge difference. We had some people that we knew quite well in South Africa that emigrated to the UK. Uh-huh. And they, it seems like the rain that it always rains, it's like Seattle a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
It kind of seeped into their bones because from what I can tell, and I may be wrong, but what I can tell, they became very socialistic in their viewpoint towards the gospel and the church. Yeah. So when I wrote this book and I offered it to them, I said, you know, I've written this book. would you like a PDF copy or something? Yeah. I can email it to you. The person said, no way, Jose, I'm not going to read your book. I don't want to read your book, period. No reasons given, no rationale behind it. They made up their mind that everything that I said was totally off the wall. Now, that it has to be a spiritual root to that, rather than just a factual, you know, you got your facts wrong and we've got some fact checkers here and they're going to straighten you out. It's crazy.
Because as soon as we get to that space where we are not willing to even consider, I mean, it's pride. It's really pride because even Jesus, you know, it's like we are constantly needing to reevaluate. We're still in our flesh. So as long as we're in our flesh, there's always going to be an area where we're going, oh yeah, well, we think this is right and we're wrong. You know, until we get to heaven, that's how it's going to be. There's always going to be those areas that we're doing something that's not lining up 100%. That's part of our journey to continuously repent, to continuously come back to the Lord, continuously come back to his word and go, oh, wow. That's why when we read the word, all of a sudden you could read the same thing over and over and over. And one day it jumps out and you go, how did I not see that? That's from that space of becoming and remaining pliable, remaining willing to review something that we could be wrong in. And we are living in such a culture right now where even with the word of God, I've got friends like this where, you know, they'll have certain views on the LGBT or that narrative, and they do not have any capacity to open the word and to just do a research on it and see what does the word actually say. Like if the word says God only made man and woman, male and female, I think he meant it. I don't think that that's like a typo and it only meant that that was only good until we got to the 21st century. Like that doesn't make any sense.
If you don't take the purpose for which something is created by the creator of that thing, like a chair or a motorbike or a human being, God created us for particular purposes, male and female. If you don't take that at face value from him as reported in the Bible, then you're going to be able to twist it and pervert it into all sorts of things. And then you get involved in studies. You start to, you know, make deep studies of gender and everything like that. We've got people there that in South Africa, once again, folk that we've known well, that have been strong preachers of the gospel, but then got totally caught up in this whole gender identity thing. Mm-hmm. And that's just seemingly the major thrust of what they're at. And man, it's just, you can't talk to them anymore.
Yeah.
They feel they can talk to us and we feel we can't talk to them. And so we've got a bit of a problem. We both have to kind of bow our knees at the foot of Jesus and say, okay, where is it that we're not loving one another enough to meet on the basis of truth? Right. We're going past each other like this.
Yeah. And that's what's really happening. I mean, that's all of the topics, all of the areas, that's what we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've got these elections that we're in that are like, who knows what's going to happen with this election because nothing's been fixed. It's all, you know, I'll say it, it's all rigged. Nothing's been fixed. You know, there's so many issues with our elections. And the elections, every single one of these topics, that just continues to push one way or the other. If we don't take a reset and actually stop and go, we've got to be willing to hear, why are you saying that? Like the elites, they put their way out. They are not willing to just sit back and go, you know what? We may not agree, but tell us your story. Tell us your side. Why do you see this as a problem? Right? They are not willing to do that.
Yeah, you've got to be secure enough in what you believe to entertain someone's opposition to it. Like the scientific thing, you know, you have a whole bunch of facts, you do an experiment, you come up with a hypothesis, and then you find out that the facts that you established, the data that you got, doesn't line up with the way you thought. You say, I still have a ways to go in this. And so you redefine everything. Now, if we adopt that, let's say, humble approach, to, you know, political science or social interactions and everything like that, I think we'd get on a little bit better. Because, I mean, after all, didn't Jesus say something like this on the Sermon on the Mount? He said, blessed are the meek or teachable.
That's right.
For they shall inherit the earth. And so we've got people running around saying, I tell you what, we need to save the planet. If we're going to inherit for the next generation the planet, we need to. And boom, they've come up with an idea. We must cut out carbon. You know, we must bring in electric cars.
Block the sun. Yeah.
Yeah. And they treat that like a religion.
Yes, it totally is. That whole climate. In fact, I was going to ask you about that because we saw 2020 to 2023, right? This whole COVID narrative, and we still see a little bit, but that definitely something shifted. That went down. The climate thing went up. It's really the same. And I want to talk about the climate thing, but we saw the same thing when Roe v. Wade nationwide, when the federal mandate shifted and that was overturned. It was almost overnight that the gender study, the gender thing blew up. Even though it was still quiet, it was like it just shifted. And now, and we're seeing that with the climate change and farming and all of that. So why do you think that is?
Well, I think it traces back to the control issue, that inherent in everyone, every human being, I believe, is this drive towards having dominion over their circumstances, so that we can ensure that our future is secure.
Yeah.
And so they figure if we have this political system here, and if we deal with this issue with the climate here, and we deal with this issue here with the energy and the gas and the fossil fuels over there, then we deal with prejudice and manipulation financially, and we bring in this human engineering, let's call it, to solve our problems. Then if we could just get this right, and we can spend this money, we pass this law, put this president in place, get rid of that guy over there, defund the police. You know, we can just tweak this here, tweak that there, we're going to get it right. You cannot get it right outside of the wisdom
Jesus.
And help of the Lord. And so, once again, it just pulls you all back onto that pathway that righteousness will exalt the nation. Yeah. And unrighteousness, which is excluding God, trying to take him out of schools, you know, prayer and take him out of marriage, take him out of just anything and everything. Education is just, you can't do it. It just doesn't, things start to fray at the edges, which is what we're seeing.
What is the education system, or what was that like? Is it still like that in South Africa? You know, are they seeing very similar things overtaking of the education system?
I'm not totally in tune there, but you know, everything that I have seen does point towards it. We had a centralized control there, but they claimed that they were I don't want to get into trouble here, but they had a Calvinistic approach to it. God had called these white folk largely to proclaim the gospel in the land to the heathen black people and so on like that. And so therefore they could impose a kind of a culture onto the whole nation, which included all these tribal nations and the black people and so on. And it just didn't work because they eventually landed up manipulating them, favoring their own people and unfavoring the other people with a whole lot of finances mixed in, because the British were very strong there. Americans are very strong there with diamonds and with gold.
Yeah, that's right.
With technology and with the geopolitics of the southern tip of Africa and everything like that, and the trade routes that used to go around, you know, the ships used to go around mostly then. They're having to go back there now because of the problems of the Suez Canal and the Panama. It's just a crazy world that we live in. But to me, what does it say in that scripture? It says the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our God. And he's establishing it on things that cannot be shaken.
Right.
Which is absolute truth. There is an absolute truth of God and his ways that the world has to come into alignment with. And if they don't, there's going to be all this tension and stuff going on, this the electricity that's in the air, spiritually speaking, before Jesus comes back.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
And there's a, my son actually sent me this scripture, and I don't remember where it is. I should remember because I have it highlighted and written all about in my Bible, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. But and it's in the Old Testament, but it's about how the aliens, it says, the aliens who have come into your land will rule over you ultimately. And that's what we're, I mean, you know, that term we could put that as the illegals that are coming in over the border. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's people now, like with this election cycle, and it just came out. I just saw a headline of it this morning. I believe it was that, I think it was the Supreme Court, some very high up. They said it's okay for an illegal, undocumented person living here to carry weapons. That's fine for them. They don't have to
sign up with the police and to get trained by the military.
Yeah.
And to get involved in law enforcement in the cities and the councils and everything. And what happens then? Because if you go back to God and his ways, he says, I have created every nation under the sun to live at a pre-appointed time for a pre-appointed purpose. And so a nation, let's say an empire like the United States, is called to spread the gospel around the world with the wealth and the resources and the will of the people so that they can be a blessing to the world. And yet we've got situations now where we've got like over 300 military bases around the world, and we do all sorts of crazy stuff. And we say to the illegals that are coming from South America, and then they're finding their way from China and Afghanistan. And wherever it is, you know, military age men and women sometimes, but mostly men, you know, some people will argue, let's call them the leftists. They'll say, you're not compassionate towards them. They're just coming seeking asylum. Mm-hmm. They've bought into a narrative. They're not looking at the facts.
Exactly.
People are coming across the border, taking advantage of the system. The taxpayers pay into the system that helped them, and then go off and rape and murder people like Lake and Riley.
Exactly. You know, and it's happening. So, I mean, that is happening more and more. So a friend of mine just told me a story, and so many of these are happening and you don't even see them on the news. She lives down in the Nashville area. And she said that somebody in like a Trader Joe's, like just a everyday little grocery store was paying their bill. Their wallet was out as they were getting the card, and an illegal, you know, immigrant came by, grabbed it and stole the wallet right off the counter. Yeah. These are the things that are going to start happening more and more and more because we have a breakdown of
more and more.
Right. And we have a breakdown of society.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you go ahead?
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you can finish your thought, but I was going to ask you too, as we close, I wanted to ask how you foresee getting out of this. Like, do you think we will see another shift of the culture, you know, one last time before the Lord comes back? Kind of your thoughts on that and where we are at and all of,
you know, to be honest, I'm conflicted by it because I see in the Bible that, you know, the glorious church is going to be without spot and wrinkle, and that Jesus is going to come back for a glorious church. And yet we see Jesus himself being full of glory, operating in the Roman Empire at the time there with all of the scribes and Pharisees and the Herodians and all the corrupt people of his day. Mm-hmm. He was able to do the will of God and reach the people whose hearts were turned towards him, that would respond to the light and turn towards the light in repentance. He was able to fulfill his mission so that on the cross he says, it is finished. I've done what I was supposed to do. Yeah. So bring that into our circumstances. No matter what happens in our society, whether there will be further breakdown, further fraying at the edges, we, the church, can still do the will of God in the midst of all of that and reach the people that will respond to us, so that when we get to heaven, God will point, you know, not point his finger, but he will welcome us and he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful even in the face of incredible opposition. Mm-hmm. So I would like to be able to say to you, Tanya, that I think everything is just going to work out fine. And sooner or later, the white hats are going to roll into town.
That's what we're hoping for, right?
none of those things, don't want to make light of them. None of the people like General Flynn and others that are saying, man, we're facing like a multi-generational, fifth generation warfare, which is coming from every different direction. How do we stave it off? How do we push back? Well, we push back on the mountain of education, the mountain of politics, the mountain of the church, the mountain of arts and entertainment, sports, economics. Mm. Yes, we must be salt and light in a decaying world, so that the justice of God, he can turn to the world and say, I was there for you. Right. My people, I raised up, I revived them. There was a great awakening, which is what I'm praying for. I'm praying for, you know,
massive.
In kind of an answer to your question, America will come through on the other side better after a spiritual great awakening.
Absolutely.
Has just enveloped the nation. Mm-hmm. And began to put its tentacles back into, and I'm not saying the tentacles are not there, because there are local churches in every community.
Sure.
If they would just rise up and not be so woke,
right?
You know that expression, woke.
Yep. So scared.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so influenced by, let's call it, creeping socialism, even in the church.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And 100%. So if the church would be what the church was originally called to be according to the Bible, then we're skating on good solid ice.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise,
we're in trouble.
We're in trouble.
Yep. I completely agree. It's just fascinating. For all of you that have been watching and listening, I want to make sure that you know, go, and I put this up a couple of times, but for those of you that are listening that can't see the screen, go to edhorak.com and you can purchase this book called Agenda. It's a small book. It's an easy read. I highly recommend it. I know a lot of you that follow the show have General Flynn's Five Generational War, fifth 5G. I think it's just called 5G, Fifth Generational Warfare. You've got so many of the other books on the days that we're in. I highly suggest you get this and add it to your library. Get a couple of these if you want and give them to your friends. Because the thing I love about this book is that it's coming at this. You're talking about all these things, but you're talking at them from a Christian worldview. So you're coming at them and you're addressing, here's what the scripture says about it. Here's what Jesus actually said about it here. Yeah. So you're not going to get that in all the other books. When you're reading about what's going on in our world, you're not getting always the Christian worldview. Doesn't mean those people don't believe that, but they're not writing about it. This book is addressing what's going on, but also addressing it from a Christian worldview. So I highly recommend you do that. Go to edhorak, HORAK.com, and pick up this book, Agenda. What else would you like to leave us with while you're here today?
Yeah, just on the promotional side of things, if they want to go on Kindle, they can get it there too. Just type in Agenda and my name. And then I have a YouTube channel which doesn't deal with this so much because you get banned.
I was going to say, that's amazing if you could be on YouTube with this. I got kicked off from this a long time ago.
Yeah, no. So I haven't really been posting anything about this stuff directly except through the book. But Tanya, thank you so much for the opportunity there. I think just to be encouraged that this hasn't taken God by surprise. And if we hear his voice, he, like a good shepherd, is going to lead us to those quiet waters and those green pastures in the midst of all of the nonsense. In our kitchen, my wife Sue and I, we have a little chalkboard where the Israelites were confined to the land of Goshen back in the day with Moses and everything. And the land of Goshen had light in it when everything else was dark.
I love that.
If you see your world getting darker around you, know that the light that God has for you is going to get brighter and brighter, and to tap into that, and you'll be okay. Everything will work out for you. Maybe not for everyone else, but for you. He'll give you wisdom how to handle your finances. We know whether to go for cryptos or gold or real estate or artwork or, whatever it is. Save, prep your stuff, grow your own food. Do whatever it takes that the Lord leads you in this, but remain true to his word and his ways, in the leading of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to come out on top.
So great. I love that ending of the light in Goshen, because I just was reading about that the other day and I thought, wow, that's such a good reminder that even when things were dark, God's children had light. It didn't make sense. They had light. They had food. They had everything they needed, and that's what God will do for his children who do maintain and follow his ways. So this is so fantastic. I'm so glad that I was able to have you on the show. And when you get your next book written, we'll have to have you back to talk about that as well, because that is a fascinating topic as well. So thank you, Ed, so much for being on the show. So appreciate it.
Thank you for this wonderful opportunity.
Absolutely. Hang tight as we finish out here, y'all. Thank you so much for joining us today. You know that we end the show with a scripture, and this is a very fitting scripture for today. John 8:32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So never stop. Never stop seeking out the truth. Thanks again for watching. As always, you can find out more about me and the show at TanyaJoy.tv. And you can watch us Monday, Wednesday, Friday, The Tanya Joy Show on Rumble and all streaming platforms. And please don't forget to share The Tanya Joy Show. God bless you. And until next time, bye for now.
Here's a nutritional hack anyone can master. Replace a meal a day with our Kingdom Feel.
Or if you're a mosh from the gym, add a shake to your daily meal plan.
Our unique meal shakes are balanced, low glycemic, rich in fiber, 20 grams of clean protein, essential vitamins and minerals, healthy fat, and organic fruits and vegetables.
Kingdom Feel is vegan with a complete amino acid profile.
Bottom line, it's a simple start to a transformed life.
No gimmicks, just results.
Start today.
When I started MyPillow, it was just a problem solution, one product company. Well, since then, with the help of my dedicated employees, we now have hundreds of products, some you might not even know about. To get the word out, we're having a $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. And for the first time ever, our six-pack towel sets, you guessed it, just $25. Our brand new 4-pack dish towels, $25. And I've never done this before. Premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, any size, any loft level, even king size for only $25. And there's so much more. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code for our $25 extravaganza. Order $75 and over, your entire order ships absolutely free.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Beauty for Ashes with Tanya Joy. Please subscribe, hit the notification bell, and leave us a comment below. Lastly, if you've enjoyed today's podcast, share with those who came to mind. Be blessed, and remember, you were created for such a time as this.